Dark Skies Matter is an initiative that I founded with the founding support of Surrey Hills AMMB, CPRE Surrey, Surrey Wildlife Trust, and RSPB. And it's essentially an environmental organisation, really. I mean, I'm an amateur astronomer, so that was a starting point for me. But it goes a lot further than that. It's a lot wider than that, into all sorts of areas. And if you look at the website, you can see what those are. We can talk about them. Those organisations have been fantastically supportive, especially the AOMB and CPRE, who do their own good work in this area. So our mission is to protect the dark sky places that we do have. And of course, those are vanishing. They're under constant attrition from the spread of light pollution. And to raise awareness, really, about the harm that light pollution can do, because it can do harm. It's not just one of those things. It's quite a nasty, really. Well, since the beginnings of that organisation, about 2 years ago, our reach has extended enormously, and we've got support from Friends of the Earth Campaign for National Parks, CPRW, and all sorts of national and international, some international organisations, most particularly the Geneva Astronomical Society, and that's where the La Nuit est Belle thing originates. That's Turn the Lights Off project.
But when you say light pollution, what kind of things are you talking about?
Right, and that's an absolutely key question, Lucy. I mean, first of all, what we're not talking about is plunging everyone into permanent darkness, because we recognise, obviously, that some light at night is necessary for our safety, and light can be fun. You know, I like fireworks and lights at Christmas and all that stuff. So it's not about, you know, being killjoys. Light pollution is waste light. It's light that's not doing anything useful, and there's an awful lot of it around. Useful light, fine. Waste light. Waste light is light that's escaped from places because it's not properly shielded, because it's scattered from lights that are too bright. It comes from lights that are on when they don't need to be on. It's all those things that you see if you're driving around in the country and you go past, you see a town in the distance and it's got a big dome of light over it. That's polluting light. And that is money going up into the sky. And apart from messing up the sky and spoiling the natural beauty of the heavens and destroying a heritage that we've had since we first started to become self-aware on this planet, and we've managed to do that in a few decades, which doesn't say good things about us, does it really? But the good thing about it is that we could easily put it right. It's not like plastic in the sea or in the bodies of sea creatures. Goodness knows how we'll ever tackle that. You can get rid of some light pollution by turning off some lights, which is not a big effort.
What impact does it have on nature? And also, what are the hidden impacts it has on humans? What's it doing to our health?
Yep, you're absolutely right. We've taken it for granted for a long time, and it's crept up on us, and it's got worse and worse because we haven't really paid attention to it. In terms of impact on human health, we know that we are creatures of... We were born into a cycle of light and dark. Our bodily rhythms are part of that, and those rhythms are part of us. For example, we know that lighting up the night can affect melatonin levels, which we all know about the ill effects that can have on people's bodies. And so we're talking about really potentially quite serious physical illnesses and mental distress as well. So this is now beyond question. Also beyond question is the impact on wildlife, and of course wildlife, you know, we're part of the ecosystem. We don't always think we are, but we certainly are. We take the example of insects, for example. Insects are very important, not just to the insects, but to us, because they pollinate, they give us our crops, you know, pretty flowers, all the rest of it. They're vital, they're also part of the, you know, well down in the food chain on which other creatures depend for their well-being. There's a lot of evidence now to show that light at night is decimating the insect population. There's talk of an insect apocalypse, and obviously some of it's down to pesticides and things of that, things of that sort. But there's very little question that some of it now is down to light. So lighting up the night is bad for living creatures, you know, to, including us. That's quite recent knowledge. I mean, until quite recently, we thought, well, it's light, you know, it's all right, it's not doing any harm, but it is. And of course, the other way which is impacting on us is because it is wasteful. And right now, we don't have resources to chuck away. If we ever did, we certainly don't now. So anytime light is sent somewhere where it's not doing something useful, that is resources being wasted. And those are resources that, that could be put to other worthwhile use, you know, whatever that may be.
London, you only have to look at the tourist hotspots. Where do you stand on that? I mean, should we as Londoners and also in Surrey be saying to the government, you know, we need to start not having these excess lights on all the time simply because they're lighting up iconic structures?
No, that's an interesting question. I mean, there is a balance to be struck. We now have the all-party parliamentary group for dark skies, which is has put forward its 10 points for government. UK is behind a lot of other countries in approaching light pollution and nuisance light. France, for example, has got a very strong national policy. How well it's implemented, I don't know. The policy certainly looks good. There's obviously going to be a case for lighting up things which are of special cultural interest. I mean, nobody's saying that should not happen. We're again back to good light and bad light. And if there's a cultural purpose to be had from lighting up, I don't know, St. Paul's Cathedral or something, that's obviously valid. But where you've got lights on all night in office blocks, for example, and everyone's gone home, that is purposeless, and it's harmful for the reasons that we were talking about a little while ago. It contributes to all that. And the other thing about light, it doesn't stay where it is. It travels. And so where I live, which is in Bookham, the light from London is very intrusive. Now, that ties into another thing we're seeing a lot of now. We're seeing a lot of LED lighting, and whereas that has the capability of being very useful and helping us save money, it's also quite dangerous because some of the components of white LED light, the blue element in that light, is very invasive. It travels furthest. It scatters, it reflects, it gets around a lot more than warmer light. So one of the recommendations is to use warmer light where you can. It is about balance. It's always about a balance of interests. But I think Dark Skies Matter would say that there's a very substantial slice of interest to be represented by, you know, the beauty of the night sky, which our children, if they live here, are not going to get, unless they go away on holidays at La Palma or something. That's a massive cultural loss, which we've managed to inflict on ourselves in no time at all, really, historically. So yeah, a balance, but at the moment, the balance is overloaded on the side of waste, and it's litter and it's noxious waste for the reasons that we've talked about with human health and animal well-being.
And what kind of things can we look out for when we've got our lights off? You might look at the stars, but I'm sure there's other things there that we're missing when we're hurrying on with our daily lives and we're not really looking out for them.
Well, that's certainly true. And I mean, I'm one of a number of people who spend a lot of time looking up at the sky and travel to, you know, some of the best places in the world to do that. So I know what really dark skies look like. And they don't look like a lot of people think. They're actually very bright because the stars are so bright, you could read a newspaper by them. And the Milky Way is a great silver stream crossing the sky. Now, I guess it used to be like that here 150 years ago. I don't know, it wasn't here then. But no one's really suggesting we can get that back in the London suburbs. Of course we can't, because there's light is needed in suburbs and so on. But there are parts of the country, in Surrey, for example, the Surrey Hills, that we're, you know, doing a lot of work with, where there is the potential for skies to be restored to a degree. It's going to be to a degree. The best place to see the stars from in Surrey are the southern slopes of the Surrey Hills. The Greensand Ridge, you go over that. You've got the Greensand Ridge behind you, shutting out some of the light from London. That is the best place in Surrey. And one of the things that we're wanting to do with Dark Skies Matter is with the AOMB is to identify some dark sky viewing points. It's not very difficult to do at all, really. It's just going there and seeing them. What can you see? Well, you can see the stars, the moon, of course. When they're about, you can see planets. But most of all, it's not just the visual element. It's the tranquility, the timeless quality of an unspoiled night sky. And the way that that can inspire and produce reflection, make you think about who you are, what you are, where you are, all of that stuff. Now that is massively important because it's a mind opener. We're working, increasingly we're closing in, aren't we, on ourselves and our screens. This is a perfect example. So we've lost a lot, and a lot of what we've lost is not easily codifiable. It's quite ephemeral, but it's precious nonetheless.
And if people want to get involved with the Dark Skies Matter initiative, what should the first step be?
First step would be to go to our website, which is darkskiesmatter.org.uk. And those last bits are important because there are various imposters. So that will take you to our website. And there you have the opportunity to read about why dark skies matter. And you also can find out what you should do to make things better. We have a long list on there of things you can personally do, like having the right sort of light fittings and all the rest of it, that will allow you to actually contribute usefully. One of those things also is to communicate with others about the things you read on there and to share the website with them. You can download the logo, and you also get the chance to leave some words of your own. And some people are leaving really great things. And identify as a supporter, along with Friends of the Earth and a number of other organisations.
And we've heard over the last year that the environment, especially when we went into a full lockdown in that first couple of months, you started to see, you know, there was the rewilding of the flowers, the parks, more animals. Do you think, although it's been awful in many ways, do you think COVID has helped with Dark Skies Matter?
You have to be very careful here, don't you? Because if you're talking about balance, I mean, obviously the balance has been in the direction we didn't want to go. But what it's done, I think, is show us some of the things that have gone, some of the things we've lost.
Or the good thing they've taken away is that they will try not to maybe cut their grass so much or to use their car so much. They will walk more. And I think that's one of the positives that's come out of it.
Very much so, very much so. And that is a context in which Dark Skies Matter exists. Because if you think of the daytime landscape, the Surrey Hills, the landscape of the Surrey Hills, that doesn't go away when the sun goes down. It's still there. And, you know, through twilight, it's a time of transition and transfiguration, and a new world, a different world, comes out, as it were, with all the creatures that are comfortable in that world. And if we're lucky and it's clear and it's not raining and we are far, far away from natural light, artificial light sources, we get to see the stars. So that has shown us, it's had, you know, as a silver lining, if you will, it has shown us some of the things that we have lost, but more positively, it's shown us how very quickly those will return if only we let them alone. That was quite remarkable, what we felt, you know. And certainly at the beginning of the first lockdown, you had the planet Venus in the evening sky, looking utterly dramatic. The skies were clearer because there was less pollution from roads and aircraft, and much more transparent. Yes, I mean, we don't want to go back to lockdown, but it taught us a few lessons, and some of those lessons we ought to hang on to.